Jai Jai Shri Ram. Thank you. Instructions spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. revealing the glories of the Holy Name. So, today, we want to try to enter into the very heart of the first verse. Chaito darpana marjanam bhava mahada vatni nirvapanam shri karima chantika vitaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purna vitasvaranam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. We discussed yesterday the meaning of param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Now we want to discuss Chaito Darpana Marjanam. What language is this verse written in?
Sanskrit.
That is only partially true. Though the language is Sanskrit, but a scholar of Sanskrit will not be able to understand the actual purport of this verse, because the true language is called Samadhi Bhasha. Samadhi Bhasha, the language of Samadhi, trance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken this verse in his Samadhi. And only a person who themselves has entered into Samadhi, the trance, by the power of the Holy Name, is able to experience and taste the profound meaning in each syllable of this verse. Generally speaking, if you go to Japan, the Japanese people, they can understand Japanese. When you go to Germany, the German people understand German. But only if you go in Samadhi, then you can understand Samadhi Bhasha. You have to go to that land. So, first, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. This Nam Sankirtan, it does a marjanam, that means the cleaning, the darpana, the mirror, of a chaitaha. Here chaita means chitta, consciousness. So, cleaning the mirror of the heart. So to understand this phrase, we have to understand four things. What is the mirror? What is the dust, the dirt on the mirror? How is the dust cleansed away? And finally, what is it which is reflected there? If we cannot answer clearly these four questions, then you have not understood Chaito Darpana Marjanam. So first thing, chitta. Chaito means a chitta. Sometimes people say chitta means heart, chitta means mind, chitta means something vaguely fuzzy inside my head. We should understand precisely what it means. For that, we should come to the teachings of Kapiladev to Devahuti in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 26. There, Lord Kapiladev explains that within this gross body, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, and space, you have your a psychological body, your subtle body, sukshma sharir, linga sharir. So, this subtle body is composed of four elements. That is, manas, mind, buddhi, intelligence, ahankar, ego, and then the last covering, that is closest to your soul. That is called citta. So, when the Supreme Lord, in the form of Mahavishnu, creates this universe, at first, the material energy is there. It's called pradhan, unmanifest. And when Mahavishnu glances, and in his glance is a Kaal Purush, that is called Shiva. He is the predominating deity of time. Vishnu is such a tattva that he cannot touch material energy directly. Because Vishnu is transcendental to three gunas completely. But the Kaal Purush, Lord Shiva, who is the power of his glance, he touches the material energy. And the material energy becomes Prakriti. Prakriti means ready for creation. By the agitation of time from Prakriti, the various elements of the world begin to manifest. In Prakriti, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas are present, three gunas, but they are in equilibrium. When that equilibrium is broken by the agitation, when the female energy is agitated by the male energy, is Prakriti, Durga, is agitated by the union with Shiva, then the three gunas, they go out of balance. And at first, Sattva-gun becomes prominent. And the finest energy, first manifest energy, is called Mahatattva. This Mahatattva contains the potential of all the elements. When the Mahatattva becomes predominated by Tamagun, then the element of Ahankar, ego, appears. And this ego is also not uniform, is not homogeneous, but part of the ego is more sattvic, part is more rajasic, and part more tamasic. So from the slightly more sattvic portion of Ahankar, ego, manifests the element of mind. From the rajasic portion, manifests the senses and buddhi, intelligence. And from the tamasic portion of Ahankar comes material sound. And from that space, and from that the element of touch, and then air, and then form, and then fire, then taste, then water, then fragrance, and then earth. And in this way, the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu, through the agency of his glance towards the material energy, creates the whole universe. Now, this human body that you have is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the universe. And therefore, all the elements which are in the universe are present in this physical body. And all those elements are like so many layers covering your Atma. So, as we discussed, the first element to come out from Prakriti was Mahatattva. When that element Mahatattva, which is in the universe, is present in your psychological body, at that time it is called citta. Citta. So, even though there are four elements within your subtle body, citta, ahankar, buddhi and manas, actually each one is a more degraded state of the previous one. When the citta is touched by tamas, becomes ahankar, ego. And then from rajasic ego comes buddhi, intelligence, and from sattvic ego becomes manas, mind. Like this. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Chaito Dharapada Marjanam, clean the mirror of your citta, it means by chanting the holy names, then the influence of tamagun, ignorance, the influence of rajagun, passion, in your subtle body becomes dissipated. And therefore, the mind dissolves into the buddhi into ahankar, and ahankar dissolves. And when the ego is dissolved, you're left with citta. Pure citta. That's why Mahaprabhu said, Tunara Pisumi Chaina. To be more humble than later breath means that the ahankar is dissolved. Ego is dissolved. So, Sri Kapiladev, he explains the lakshan, the symptoms by which you can identify the various components of our own psychological body. So in regard to manas, he said, Yatsan kalpa vikalpa bhyam vatate kama sambhavaha. It means the mind has three functions: sankalpa, vikalpa, and kama. Sankalpa means you fix your mind on some goal in life. Oh, I want to be a doctor. So someone makes this sankalpa. And then everything that they do in their life is measured by how it's viable related to that sankalpa. You can see this in yourself. If you have some goal you have fixed in your life, then when you walk around you meet so many people. But you measure everyone and see how they fit in with the agenda of your sankalpa. Right? If a person is walking down the street and they see some devotees coming, Hare Krishna. So they made a sankalpa, I want to enjoy the material world. So they, oh, these people are crazy. Oh, here comes my friend with a six-pack of beer. I like. So your whole value system, everything is done in relation to the sankalpa that you have made. So if you made a sankalpa, the goal of my life, my fixed goal of life, is to develop love for Krishna. Then when you see your friend coming with the beer and the ganja, then I'll go and quickly run away. And you look, oh, who is chanting Harinam? Who is absorbed in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna? These persons are the most valuable in my life, and run after them. So sankalpa is very important. It is one of the first ingredients of surrender to Krishna. Anako yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya vivarana. Surrender means to make a sankalpa, a promise, a determination. All the things which are good for my spiritual life, I must accept them. And what is negative for my spiritual life, unequivocally, I must avoid these things. Time is very short. I don't have time to become sidetracked into a detour that may take many lifetimes. I have to stay on the path. So the nature of the mind is a sankalpa. Which is good, because we can fix our sankalpa on becoming Krishna conscious. But the problem of the mind is, its nature is not only sankalpa, its nature is sankalpa vikalpa. Vikalpa means when your mind shifts all of a sudden and you change your sankalpa. So a change of a sankalpa is called vikalpa. You cannot live without a sankalpa. It's only a question of which one you have. You see? So, one day you decided, I want to be a doctor. So you were working very hard for so many years. And then after about 3 years at university, and you have another two to go, then what happens? One planet in your astrological chart moves from this house to this house, and your mind, boom, moves with it. Basically, that's what happens. You know, people think they're free. Everyone down here thinks, I'm free. to do whatever I like. No one can oppress me. And when the planet moves, mine moves. Oh, I don't want to be a doctor. I want to be a musician. And then everything he chooses is now how it fits in with that agenda. Then another planet goes, I want to be married. And he goes on in this sankalpa for a few years. Then another planet goes, actually, I don't want to be married. Please not to this person. So in this way, all the people down here in this plane, they're like puppets. And they are under the control of their karma, which is visible in their astrological chart. So this is the nature of the mind, sankalpa vikalpa. If we follow our mind, then what will happen? See? The karma we experience in this life is called prarabdha karma. And the karma that we will experience in the future lives after that is called aprarabdha karma. So in the stars, all your aprarabdha karma is there. It's already planned for thousands of lifetimes. So as long as we are surrendered to the mind, then we'll have to wander according to our karma, according to our destiny. So that is a state of, so now and then a little material happiness, it's quite insignificant, but a great deal of struggle, a great deal of disappointment, dissatisfaction, and suffering of the body, suffering in the mind. So, sankalpa vikalpa is the nature of the mind and calm, desire. The next element is buddhi. In Srimad Bhagavatam is described dravya spurna vikhyanam indriyanam anugraha. Buddhi or intelligence, indriyanam anugraha, it gives help to the senses. Our senses want something and the buddhi is trying to figure it out how to get it. And dravya spurna vikhyanam, it means that the intelligence helps us understand dravya. Dravya. Dravya means it's an umbrella term for everything which is a tamasic transformation of ego. In other words, all the material elements, the gross elements. All the gross physical elements that you can see are called dravya or substances. So the function of buddhi, material elements, is to analyze them, identify them, and see what type of qualities, valuable or not valuable, they have. This is the nature of buddhi. So it's very, very important to understand what is the jurisdiction of buddhi. The jurisdiction of buddhi is dravya, gross physical substances. That means, when you use your material intelligence to understand the Satchidananda Vigraha, the eternally conscious blissful form of Krishna, his qualities and pastimes, it is impossible. It fails. That is not the jurisdiction of the element of buddhi. And therefore, those who are addicted to their material intellect, they use it to try to catch something spiritual, but they always come away empty-handed. So those persons are called mayavadis. The persons, or we can say Buddhists also, they follow buddhi, they analyze the world. But by the utilization of buddhi, when you try to reach for transcendence, you end up with shunya, emptiness. And then you can preach to everyone, the truth is shunya, emptiness. No mind, no anything, Nothing is real, nothing exists, this is the truth. Because this is what I captured with the Buddhi. So material intelligence will not help us understand transcendence. But it can help us discriminate whether or not with this body. Because the next function of Buddhi, Sri Kapila said, Sanshay ta viparyaso nischaya smriti eva cha swapa ichyutite buddhe lakshanam mritita pritak. The separate functions of the buddhi, intelligence, are sleep, that means dreaming, smriti, memory, nischaya, means certainty. Making an accurate analysis of the perception of what is before you. Nishchay, certainty. Viparya. Viparya is an oscillation of the intelligence which produces avidya. Avidya, asmit, rag, dvesh, and abhidvesh. These are five types of viparya. That means avidya, it means accepting the body to be the self. It's a type of glitch in your buddhi. When the buddhi is oscillating due to rajagun, then this glitch comes. It's like a virus in your buddhi. And you feel, I am this body. Avidya. Then, more asmita. Asmita means, what my senses are doing, I am doing. Avidya smita. The power of my senses, that's me. Rag, attachment, dvesh, aversion, and abhinivesh. Abhinivesh means the stubborn adherence to the material conception of life, which makes us feel fear of dying. You can say it many times, I'm not the body, I'm not the body, I'm not the body, then someone pulls out a gun. And feeling, I don't want to die. If you're not the body, how will you die? You cannot die. But abhinivesh is the absorption in the body. And we think, when this body is over, when I die, it's all over. There will be nothing. It will be just like turning off the TV. Nothing. So, these are the glitches in our perception which come about by the agitation of buddhi, rajaguna. So, then the fifth is called sanshay, doubt. You were sure about something, but then a doubt came into your mind. So, this is the good, doubt is the good part of intelligence. Because the person for their whole life, they felt, oh, this is me, I am this body. Then, in the association of sadhus, we actually are not this body, and then the doubt comes. Should follow that doubt. And see. Deliberate upon it. Do vichar, manan. Reflect. I am seeing, I am conscious of this physical body. I am a shakshi, a witness of the body. But I am also a witness of the mind. So I am neither the body or the mind. I am Shakshi, the witness. But the impression of being this physical form is the persistent. It persists. And so this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means by Chaito Darpana Marjanam. To clean from the chitta the sanskaras, the impressions related to the bodily conception of life. They are the three. Kartritva, here. Now we come to ahankara, ego. Ego is the root of all the misconceptions. Kartritvam, karnatvam cha, karyatam cheti lakshanam. When the chitta is contaminated by the darkness of ignorance, how does the citta become contaminated by tamaguna? You know? The physical elements are the tamasic. So when we taste them, when we try to enjoy them, when we absorb ourselves in the external physical elements, then the sanskars, the impressions of the gross tamasic elements, enter into our citta. And when these samskars, they group together, there are so many of them, it's so dense, then it clouds the citta and the citta becomes dark. And now, we are in material existence. So, these impressions persist in the form of kartikva. That is the feeling that I am the doer. I am doing everything. Just like if a person looks in the reflection of themselves in the water and the water is moving, then the reflection is moving. So, the person is still, but the reflection is moving. So simply, when the citta is contaminated by ego, the physical body is walking here and there, but Atma is not doing anything. In chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, "Naiva kinchit karomi iti." A person in pure consciousness knows whether they are walking, talking, standing, sitting, opening and closing their eyes. They know. Only the senses are engaged with their objects. But naiva kinchit karomi iti. I am doing nothing. Only Shakshi, witness. So, the impression in the citta of being the doer, of being active, this is the contamination on the mirror of the heart which has to be washed away by the vibration of Krishna. Karnatamcha means the impression of having instruments. So the instruments are the senses. And karyatvam means the impression of effects. So that refers to dravya. So in our consciousness, three things. I am the doer. The senses are myself. And many, many feelings, impressions coming from the physical world. This is the dust on the citta. So, now we come to the definition of citta. In verse 22, Kapil Dev said, Swachatvam avikaritvam shantatvam iti chetasa. Iti chetasa. This citta has three qualities. Swachatvam. Swacha means clear, reflective. Then avikaratvam means it is nirvikar, it is not oscillating, it is not disturbed by rajas, passion. And shantatvam means peaceful, very sublime, serene peacefulness. So the general person, they actually have no direct practical experience of their citta. Because the mirror of the citta, we say mirror solid, but the citta is very, very responsive. Their citta is completely polluted by the material world, the impressions. And so they experience mind, intelligence and ego, but not more than that. So all the choices and decisions and activities that we do under the influence, under the state of intoxication, of ego, they're all mundane. And any permutation or any variety of those activities cannot help one become free from that. And therefore, Shri Guru gives us a mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So the first responsibility of the disciple is to chant this mantra and hear. Srila Prabhupada used to say, hear, hear, hear. Become clear, clear, clear. Swachatam, clear. And discover your citta, a state of peace, a state which is beyond the drama of life. And if we can do that, then Sri Krishna is very close by. In the sixth canto, Lord Shiva said, Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yad Iyate Tatra Pumama Bharitaha. There is a state of existence called Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Now don't make the mistake of thinking that if rajas and tamas are taken away from sattva, that's called pure goodness. That's not a fact. Because the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, they're all the external energy, bahiranga shakti. And actually they can never be completely separated from each other. Only sattva can become very highly predominant. But vishuddha sattva is the antaranga shakti, the spiritual internal potency of the Supreme Lord. So the sattva gun never becomes shuddha sattva. It cannot, because they're two completely distinct energies. Sattva gun is part of maya. Daivinasya gunamayi mam maya durakteya. And vishuddha sattva is the spiritual energy of Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Chaito Dharpa Marjana. The chitta is like a mirror. And when our consciousness becomes nirvikar, not oscillating anymore, unagitated by rajas, in that mirror there is reflection of Vishuddha Sattva. Not actually Vishuddha Sattva, but a reflection. That's called avas. So Lord Shiva is saying, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shantitam. The state of Vishuddha Sattva is also called Vasudeva. Vasudeva is that state in which Pumam Aparita, the Vigraha, the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, is experienced. Pumam Aparita, without any covering. In other words, you have a direct vision of God in the state of Vishuddha Sattva. So, in the comment on this verse, Srila Jiva Goswami said that what does it mean that the vision of God is completely uncovered? He said, it means that there's also an experience of the form of God which is a little covered. You see? The darshan of Krishna is not like a switch, on or off. But first, he said that uncovered is the direct darshan of Krishna, and the covered vision of Krishna is when a person in sattva guna, who is very sattvic, is engaged in the activities of pure bhakti, then the reflection of Krishna's Swarup is caught in the mirror of their citta. You see? So that will begin from Nishtha onwards. Before the stage of Nishtha, devotees have anartha, they're chanting the aparam. When they give up 10 offenses to the holy name, that is not called nanaparam, that is called nanabhas. In the state of Nishtha, Nishtha means Nishtha Buddhi. The consciousness becomes steady. Then when the devotee chants, Krishna's form and qualities begin to be reflected there. When that reflection comes, Krishna's form and qualities and then his associates. And when the devotee chanting the holy name begins to see the beautiful way in which the associates are serving Radha and Krishna, then he feels, ah, that's what I want. I want to be like them. That state is called Ruchi in Radha Yoga Bhakti. That is low greed. That is the qualification. In the morning time, Paraputra Bhakti Sadhu Maharaj is saying, no qualification, but only greed. So there's no contradiction. You have to understand it carefully. If you hear the pastimes of Krishna, how sweet they are. Sri Rupa Manjari Karachita Parapara Gosthanda Nandana Gujapita Maskaya Hamodataka Gauri Padaranda Sambhahanani Shankai Stavakin Krishi. You will hear how Raghunath Das Goswami, he's absorbed in chanting the holy name and weeping and begging. When will that day come? When Radhika was dancing and she was became tired, she was perspiring. And she sat down and she's not very high on etiquette like Chandravali. Chandravali is very, there's so much protocol in the way that she deals with Krishna. Radhika is not like that. She sits down and plops her head in Krishna's lap. And Krishna is very lovingly stroking her head. And Rupa Manjari comes and begins to massage the feet of Radhika. Raghunath Das Goswami said, oh, when will I be there? I want to be there. In his bhajan, he's seeing how Rupa Manjari. She's not a girl, she's not a coward girl. She is the manifestation of the mystic power of Radha Krishna's love. In a form. The chit vibhuti, the mystic powers of Radha Krishna's love are manifest, personified beings. Very sweet, very beautiful. When they're together, they're always hovering around them, serving in various ways. And the divine couple, they never feel inhibited in any way. But though they are the chit vibhuti, the mystic powers of Radhika's love, all have the abhiman, the ego. I'm a coward girl, gopi, of a Vrindavan. A human-like ego. But they are not. When the devotee is chanting and the chitta becomes clean, and he sees how Rupa Manjari is serving, then Raghunath Das Goswami is greased. Yes, I want. That's what I want. When the Rupa Manjari Bhagavan eyes call him, and she'll give the lotus feet of Radhika in my lap. And then I can do the jista seva. So this is a wonderful thing. But those who are rasic, they don't want any seva. They want ujista seva. The remnant of Rupa Manjari's service. She started. She let me finish that service. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, when will she offer the lotus feet of Radhika to me, I'll begin to massage. And then Rupa Manjari will take up a chamar and find the divine couple. Now, if any of you are listening to this, and you think, that's amazing, that's what I want. That is called low greed. That's called greed. And you can come at any time to anyone. Doesn't matter how unqualified that person is, at any time you can talk to anyone. But you have to understand that low greed appears and then matures slowly. So it can appear at any time, but it's not mature until the stage of Ruchi. So by chanting Harinam, hearing and chanting, the heart becomes clean. In the stage of Ruchi, love is mature. Then one can actually, one has the eligibility to do the sadhana of Raghunuga Bhakti. Before that, it's called Raghunuga Bhakti, but it's only pravritti. That means it is pravritti, it is inspired. The motivation is to attain Raghunuga. So, We have discussed the meaning of citta. It is the mirror. We have discussed the meaning of the dirt on the mirror. That is kartit tvam karat tvam cha karyatam, the impression of being the doer, the impression of the activities of the kriya, activities of the senses, and the impressions of the gross physical substances. This should be cleansed away. When this is cleansed away, then bhava maha dhavagni nirvapanam, the fire of suffering of the material world is gone. And shirakaya vachandika vitaranam. That means the lotus of good fortune begins to open. So, chaito dharpada nartana means anatta nivritti, the cleansing of the anattas. Bhava maharadati nirvapanam, the extinguishing of the fire of material suffering, is a stage of nishtha. And then in ruchi, the lotus of good fortune begins to open. Then comes the stage asakti, vidyavadhu jivanam. Vidyavadhu jivanam means that kirtan is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Here she's called a vadhu. A vadhu means a young bride. In Vedic culture, a young bride is very, very chaste and very attentive to the service of her husband. So in this, just as the young bride only serves her husband and no one else, so similarly, transcendental knowledge only accompanies Nam Sankirtan. Without this Nam Sankirtan, the actual divine knowledge of your swarup, of your soul's spiritual form, which appears in the stage of asakti. Without this kirtan, the actual divine realization of the wonderful, colorful, variegatedness of Goloka Vrindavan cannot be attained. Why? Because this knowledge is very chaste. She never goes away from sankirtan. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, idea today. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explained that the inner form of this verse is that it is a description of the spotvad. Spotvad. Spot means bursting. The bursting into consciousness of divine realization, which is the potential of transcendental sound. So, those of you who are familiar with Indian philosophy, did anyone study Sadarshanas? Okay, I have a lot then today. Yes, Sadarshanas, so you know. So, in the six classical philosophical systems of India, the various philosophers have put forward different ideas of what sound is. So, I'll just touch on it a little. They're divided into two groups. Those who follow Spotvad and the others to follow Varnavad. In Spotvad, sound, the material sound that you make with your mouth, this causes an appearance inside of a spot. That means a power, a light, which makes you understand the meaning of a word. So, they say that without the spot you cannot understand any language. But this, the followers of the Sankhya philosophy, they say no. The meaning of words is in the syllables. So that's called the Varnavar, the philosophy of Varna, syllables. So when someone speaks, you hear one syllable, another one, and when the whole word has entered into your ear, then your intelligence remembers from before the meaning of that word. If someone showed you an apple, said this is an apple, then later when you hear the syllables, apple, your intelligence remembers that and then the meaning comes. So this is called Varnavad. So in both philosophies, Spotvad, and in Varnavad, the word and its meaning are separate. They're just two different theories of how a human being connects words with meanings. So, according to Vedanta, all words are called Devatmaka. They all describe God. Every word is the name of God. Vyaparisho Bhaktas Tadbhava Bhavitvat. In Vedanta Sutra, it is said, the primary meaning of every vibration, of every word, is God. So we see this in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he came back from Gaya after his initiation, he sat down in the Sanskrit school to teach. And all the students were asking questions. Oh, please, can you tell us the meaning of Arashram? He said, Krishna. Can you tell us the meaning of the grammatical rules in relation to the active verbs? Krishna. Everything they asked him, he just said, Krishna, Gopal, Govinda. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father. Krishna is your beloved. Krishna is everything. Bahunam janmanante yanamam prapatite vasudeva sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. When our consciousness is pure. So, but for the general persons, all the philosophers of Nyaya, Vyasheshik, Sankhya Darshan, Purvamimamsa, they support Spotvara, Varnavara, trying to explain how words get their meaning. But in each explanation, the word and its meaning is always separate. It's something different. Why? Because they are devoid of pure bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna. Whenever they hear a sound, before that sound touches their heart, it's intercepted by Maya. That is called a Maik Vyavadhan. The interception of Maya. So, the philosophers are like a Jaimini Rishi. They say that sound is eternal. You may say, no, sounds are not eternal. Because look, hello, I just said a sound and now it's gone. But the philosopher Purvami wants to say no. Sound is eternal. Why? Because we discuss the manifestation of the universe. Each element came from each element. So, the subtle causes are present in their effects in a subtle way. For example, if I have an element of earth, like a stone. Here's a stone. Is there any fire there? Is there fire in the stone? Yes, because if you get two stones, when you hit them together, fire will jump out. Sparks will jump out. So, the sparks, the fire, is present in the stone, but you cannot experience it. But by some action, then the spark will come out. The fire will be manifest. So similarly, because sound, shabda, is the subtle cause of space, ether, therefore sound is eternal and sound is everywhere in the ether. And when you move your vocal cords, that's like hitting two stones and the fire jumps out. When you move your vocal cords, then you release the subtle cause of space. And it appears. And then disappears again. It's always there. So sound is nitya, sound is eternal. Only you give an opportunity, when you vocalize, you give an opportunity for the sound which was present in the ether to appear and then disappear again. Understand? So this is the cosmology of the Vedas. So, the sound when an ordinary person speaks is really, it's eternal also, but it's released from Jarakash. Jarakash means material space. But there's such a thing called Chidakash, the spiritual space. So when a pure devotee speaks, when they move their lips, then they release from the spiritual space the transcendental sound. And it enters into our heart. Now, because the transcendental realm is Advaita Tattva, that means the plane of non-duality, then there's no difference between sound and the spot, or sound and the meaning. The sound and the spot are the same thing. So if a person can receive the vibration of Hare Krishna Mahamantra from the lips of a pure devotee who has realized Krishna, then when that sound touches their heart, the spot or the bursting of its meaning simultaneously appears. And therefore he said, Abhinatvam Nama Namino. There is no difference between Krishna and his name. But the problem is, as we mentioned with the other philosophers, when they hear sound, they always have a distinct and separate experience of sound and its meaning because of the interception of Maya, Maya Kadhyabhadana. And this is why Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnanas tatpadarshana. Try to know the truth by surrendering to a spiritual master. Render service to the spiritual master and make submissive inquiries. Why? Because when the disciple puts aside his ego and material desires and surrenders to the guru, then when the spiritual master speaks, there's no mind vyapadana. There's no interception of the material energy. So when the sound touches the heart of the disciple, then he realizes the form of the mantra. That is called mantra siddhi, perfection in mantra. So Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explained that if a person is not surrendered to the service of their spiritual master, then when the sound comes, it will be intercepted. And instead of spot, that is the direct realization of Krishna, Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Graya Nindriyai. Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes cannot be accepted by the material senses. But Sayan Mukhi, when we become in the spirit of service, Jivaro Swayameva Spuratida. Spurati means fault. There is a direct bursting, a direct experience of Krishna in the sound. So if one is not taking shelter of Guru and serving without false ego, then we'll hear, but interception will take place, and instead of receiving Divya Jnana, divine knowledge, instead of receiving Vidyavadhu Jivanam, the Kirtan, which is the life and soul of all transcendental knowledge, then instead we receive four types of material knowledge. The first type is called Parichinna Jnana. Literally, Parichinna means chopped up into pieces. In other words, bits of information. Sometimes devotees come and they come into the association of a sadhu, but they have not come there to render service, they have not come there to give their life. They have come to collect bits of information. And so that's what they get. Though the katha which describes Krishna is directly Krishna himself, and the satsyasya, the bona fide disciples, when they listen to their guru, it's like watching TV. They're seeing Krishna here as they're listening. And for those who are asatshishya, Seva Gardana, six types of bogus disciple, when the sound comes, it's intercepted by Maya, and first they get Parichinna Jnana, broken fragments of information. And each information is isolated from its context with the rest of reality. Why? Because Krishna is Advaita Jnana Tattva, that is the non-dual conscious reality. Unless our consciousness has become free from duality, we can experience the Advaita Tattva. So the spiritual master speaks and the disciple writes down all the little scraps of information, data. And he thinks the more data he collects, the more of a pandit he is. I am a pandit because I have lots and lots of data about the Vedas. So, my Guru used to say, theoretical knowledge means no knowledge. Material knowledge is a Maya Prabhava, one of the influences, powers of the material energy, Maya. So then the second type of knowledge, after Parisichana Jnana, is called Sankirna Jnana, means contracted. In other words, depending on the degree of surrender of the disciple, if someone surrendered, then some experience will come. But it's kind of, it's a zip file, you know? It's all squashed together. The details haven't been unpacked. You know? It's like someone, they hear some katha and they feel something. But they cannot distinctly experience the sthayi bhav, the dhu bhav, the anu bhav, the sattvic bhav, the vyagachari bhav, all the components of the rasa. It's squashed together. That's called sankirna dhyana. So then, the next type of knowledge is called vikrita. Vikrita dhyana. Means distorted. So he's hearing, but what is being described is being received in a completely distorted way. And the last one is called Vivakagrasta dhyana. Vivakagrasta, the knowledge which is under the grip of bewilderment, illusion. Just like someone is hearing. Gopis are taking bath in Yamuna. And Krishna stolen their clothing. And he told them, come out from the water. Someone's listening. This Krishna is very lusty. He wants to see all gopis naked. They are not assimilated, they are not understood. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Paramatma who is present in every atom and everywhere in the universe is just his portion. He's present in every atom, inside every body. He's already seeing everyone in the whole universe naked at every moment. Right now. Even everyone who's wearing clothing, he's still because he's inside of everyone. So why would that person who's seeing everyone at every time from every possible angle, why will he tell come out from the water? Because he's lusty. This is the Vata Rasa Jnana. The katara is coming, but your mind is intercepting it and turning it into something bizarre. So, the essence of this discussion is that Sankirtana, the holy name of Krishna, is not a sound that you make. From even material sound is eternal, what to speak of spiritual sound. But this sound is from the spiritual sky. Golokera Premdhan Harinam Sankirtana. From Goloka Vrindavan, this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, has descended as a pastime. So, at first we are chanting, and only material sound is coming. Gradually, by association with pure devotees, we give up all offenses to the name. Nasta prayeshu abhattareshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By serving the bhagavata, the devotees, the abhattareshu here means inauspicious things. Srila Vishwantari Thakur says this means nanaparad. By serving pure devotees, our offenses to the name diminish. And when they are diminished, then we become absorbed and mind becomes, the chitta becomes steady and peaceful. And then Nama Abhas appears and the form of Krishna is reflected in the heart. So don't think that you can make this sound. Only Supreme Lord Himself can appear when He is pleased with our service attitude. And when this sound appears, because of the sport, the nature of divine sound is sport, it manifests spontaneously realization. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, if the disciple is not surrendered, then when the divine sound approaches him, it is intercepted by Maya and he receives these four types of knowledge. Parichinna Jnana, Sankirna Jnana, Vikrita Jnana, and Vivartagrasta Jnana. Fragmental knowledge, compact, compressed knowledge, distorted knowledge, and illusory knowledge. Then, when he engages in the activities of bhakti on the basis of that knowledge, it is not real bhakti, but rather it is an imitation of bhakti. So in Sanskrit that is called pautalikata. Pautalikata. The word putali, putali means a mannequin. A mannequin, like a doll. If you go to a clothing shop, then in the window of the clothing shop there are some mannequins are there. They look like human beings, but they are not human. They are putali, putali, mannequins. So, pautalikata means that the sport, the realization is not coming inside, but we try to do bhajan following Goswamis by force of buddhi, intelligence. And so that bhajan is pautalikata, an imitation of the real bhajan. And that is known as Prakrita Sahaja. Don't think Prakrita Sahaja means that you dress up like a gopi. Prakrita Sahaja means when the disciple who is not surrendered has failed to receive the Shakta Brahma, the spiritual sound, in the heart. He imitates the bhajan of the advanced devotees by force of his material mind. That is called Prakrita Sahaja. So just to complete, I want to make an illustration of the four possibilities. Four possibilities in the relation between the speaker and the hearer. In the first situation, someone has no realization of Krishna. And they're speaking. There are many professional reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam in India. They are speaking for money. This is offense. So when they are speaking, this sound is coming from Jagakash, material space. Understand? And when the audience hear it, they are very entertained. But there is no practical spiritual advancement. After hearing, they just go home and watch TV and drink coffee and everything. They don't change. Then the next possibility. The speaker is realized. So when they speak, the vibration is coming from Chidakash, the spiritual sky. Someone is listening, but they're not surrendered. Then they'll get the four types of material knowledge. Parichinna Jnana, Sankirna Jnana, Vikrita Jnana, and Vivartagrasta Jnana. Then, next possibility. Someone is realized and the hearer is surrendered. Then when the sound comes, they will hear and realize and they'll go on chanting, and by chanting they'll go more and more deeply into that realization. And it will become swarasiki, natural, spontaneous. They'll enter into the lila even. That is the third possibility. Then there's the fourth possibility. Yeah. The speaker is in Maya. So their sound is coming from Jagadakash, but the hearer is in Advaita Jnana, pure consciousness. So even though the speaker is speaking material sound, the person who is in the Advaita Jnana will hear everything is good. You know, like Shiva's Thakur. One day, there was a pandit named Devananda Pandit. He was giving class on Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was not even a devotee. And he was explaining it all wrong. But Shiva's Thakur was strolling along, oh, Bhagavad Gita is going on, I want to listen. So he sat down in the back. Then Devananda Pandit, he was speaking a verse. Bhavapidam natravarapuhu karyakarikaran Vipranvasakranaka kapishan valijayam pimtumalam Randranveno adharasudaya purayam goko vrindai Vrindaranyam supadharanam pravisadhita kirti. She was talking about her. Ah, it's morning time and Krishna's going to the forest. He's decorated with a peacock feather. He has beautiful kanikara flower over his ear. He's wearing a Vaijayanti garland of 5 different colors of flowers. And his yellow cloth is flashing like lightning on the rain cloud on his chest. He's surrounded by so many friends. And his friends are singing his glories, Hari Kirtan. And he's entering into the forest, leaving behind beautiful footprints with the auspicious marks on his feet in the footprints. When Shiva Thakur heard this, though the speaker was speaking, the sound was coming from Jagadakash, because his consciousness is the Advaita. Then, as Vedanta tells, all words are Devatma. Not different from God. For those who are at that level of consciousness. Then Shiva Thakur became in ecstasy. He was crying uncontrollably and wailing, Allah Krishna! And he couldn't control his ecstasy and he fainted. Devananda looked. Who's that person making a disturbance in my learned discourse? So some of the disciples of Devananda Pandit were there. They thought, who is this crazy person rolling on the ground at the back? So they got up and they grabbed Shiva Thakur and he fallen unconscious. And they lifted him and they carried him up and they put him out in the street. So then some time later, no one knows, Shiva Thakur himself doesn't know for how long he was unconscious. But after some time he opened his eyes and he was lying in the road. And then he felt very sad. And with a heavy heart he returned to his home. So Devananda Pandit had made Vaishnava Parada because he had given, not directly himself, but through his disciples. He didn't stop there. And he's responsible for the activities of his underlings. So because Devananda Pandit made an offense to Shiva Thakur, therefore, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did Harinam Sankirtan all over Navadvip and was distributing love of God to everyone, Devananda Pandit remained untouched. He did not feel even a single drop of bhava for Krishna. Nothing. So that leads us on to the next verse of Shikastaka. Durdaiva Vidrishami Hajanyanara. Oh my Lord, you are so kind that all your potencies, all your power, all your beauty, all your sweetness, all your associates, all your pastimes, you have put place them there in your holy names. But I am so offensive, so unfortunate, that I don't feel an eagerness for chanting. So in the second verse of Shikastaka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a clue how to navigate out of the dense darkness of the forest of Nam Abhirath and come to the light of Nam Abhas. So that we will explain tomorrow. Tubu Brahmana Makarisi Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Itai Yo.